Welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm your host, Ruth Amos. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. In this podcast, I chat to all sorts of normal Christians, asking them just how they live their quiet lives and how they integrate their faith into their daily life. I hope that by listening, you will be encouraged to go out and live your own quiet life to the glory of God. You can find the episode show notes, the Quiet Life blog, and other resources at ruthamos.com.au. That's ruthamos.com.au. Now let's get on with the show. Welcome. It's so good to have you with us. I'm Ruth from ruthamos.com.au. It's episode 9 of A Quiet Life today. And as I record this, the date is Wednesday, the 5th of December, 2018. And that's a special date for us in our family because that is Dad's 70th birthday. So happy birthday, Dad. Hope you're having a great one so far. See you later on. And so that's special for our family. But getting on to the podcast, today's guest is Kerry. Kerry has worked for at least 20 years in childcare. So she, as I say in the podcast, she has all my respect for that. I think that's amazing. And it's just lovely to hear about how God works in her everyday life, how she sees him play out in that area of childcare and looking after the little children who are so important to us, really. It's such a wonderful thing to be able to give them the care that, you know, we know that Jesus wants them to have. Right, so this week in my life, at the present time I'm feeling very proud of myself because I've just come back from a specialist appointment and the specialist told me that I should be flat on my back in bed, but I'm not flat on my back in bed. So all praise be to God for that. I have a thyroid disorder, so I've had an overactive thyroid, and this year we decided to do something about it. We did some radioactive iodine therapy to reduce the activity of the thyroid, and it looks like we overachieved. So I have basically no thyroid hormone in my body at the moment, and so I am feeling pretty tired, to be honest. But I should be, I just should have no energy at all. I'm grateful this has been caught now. The doctor has given me some hormone to take, and, I should be feeling right on top of things in about a couple of weeks, which is really good because that actually means my family might get Christmas this year. I mean, we're always going to have Christmas because Christmas is about Jesus and it's not about the food or the presents or the decorations. But honestly, I've been looking at food, presents and decorations and thinking, right. I don't know how I'm going to do this. And so I'm hoping that over the next couple of weeks, all being well, I'll feel better and things will be great for Christmas. So that's the plan. That's the plan. And yes, the doctor told me I'm very resilient. So I'm giving myself a pat on the back and a clip around the ear hole and telling myself to listen to my body a bit better and get help earlier next time. Hopefully there won't be a next time. Hopefully we just get this sorted out and I know what I'm doing. But so that's really where I'm at right now. We had my writers group get together, Christmas get together on Saturday, and that was really lovely because we all sat around and read pieces of our writing to each other. There was some poetry, a very funny poem, a very meaningful psalm that someone had written, which was just gorgeous, a bit of memoir, which was delightful and also tear-jerky. We all had little moist eyes, including the person who was trying to read it, and it was just lovely. And I read my short story, which was long compared to other people's, I guess, but fun. I enjoyed it. It's science fiction, and if you want that short story for free, you can go over to www.rjamos.com, which is my fiction writing website, and sign up for my newsletter, and I'll be sending that out for my Christmas newsletter in about a week. But otherwise, it'll be up on Amazon for a dollar. Or if you're not into science fiction Christmas stories, then don't worry about it. But I had fun writing it. I think it's called The Blue Demons, and it's by RJ Amos. And yeah, it'll be up there after I send it out to my newsletter list. So that was probably my first Christmas activity. This week coming up, we have another Christmas activity. Our body corporate's getting together and having our annual Christmas party, which will be fun. And then on Saturday, so that's Friday and Saturday, we have my dad's big birthday party, which is fun. And then on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, I'm going to a little town in the middle of Tasmania called Taralea and going to a birthday party chemistry symposium. So we're going to spend all day listening to chemistry talks, and we're going to have dress-up dinner on the Tuesday night, and that'll be something completely different. So I guess I'm telling you about Taralea because if I can get my act together this week, I will pre-record everything for next week's podcast. But if you don't hear from me next Wednesday, it's because I didn't get my act together, and you'll have to wait a little bit longer. I might just be forced to take a week or two off. So yeah, we'll see how we go. If I get enough thyroid in my bloodstream, who knows what I can accomplish with enough thyroid in my bloodstream. So we'll see. Oh, this is real here, keeping it real. Another thing that's happening in my family, which is quite exciting, is that Caleb, my son, is up with a team from University of Tasmania racing an electronic car around a track in Melbourne and being part of a university's competition up there, or in Wangaratta, I think. So that's very fun. He took off yesterday. He's gone across on the ferry, and that should be fun for him. Yeah, so all happening here when apparently I should be lying flat on my back in bed. Who has time for that, really? Well, I mean, I guess some of us have to. And I'm just so grateful that I've been able to keep going. And I'm really, really grateful that things are turning around now. Oh, and the other bit of big news that I can't believe I forgot to tell you because I'm staring at it as I speak to you is that I've bought a new microphone. So I hope that the quality of audio that you're hearing now is better because I've invested in an actual podcasting microphone. Unfortunately, it's not going to affect the interviews until about February because I was so good at pre-recording interviews with people that I haven't had this particular bit of hardware to make it sound better for you. But so be assured that, I'm hoping the sound quality is good now and it will get better as I start recording new interviews that will be playing sometime in February. The first of which I'm recording this afternoon, so I'm looking forward to that. But for now, I wish you a very blessed and happy week. And as we head into Advent, and it's the first week of Advent, so I wish you a happy new year, happy Advent. As we prepare for Jesus coming and as we prepare for Christmas, may you know God's closeness and may the Christmas carols you hear be uplifting and focus on the true reason for the season. And if I chat to you again next week, I will. And if I don't, I hope you'll forgive me and we'll get back to our regularly scheduled program as soon as possible. God bless. So welcome everybody. It is so great to have you with us and it's great to have Kerry with us today. Kerry was my mentor when I started work as a family day carer. Now, people who know me now, when they find out I was a family day carer, they laugh. It was a very different life. But yes. Kerry is amazing at this. So Kerry was my mentor and then she was family day carer for my two kids and she's still family day carer.
Yes.
So family daycare is having children in care in your own home in more of a family atmosphere. Yeah. So Kerry and Tony have two grown-up girls and Kerry's still doing daycare and she has my incredible respect for still doing the daycare, looking after the babies and the
children. So let's start with how did you become a Christian?
How did I become a Christian? Well, it was several steps, actually. Mm-hmm. When I was working in a little arcade, there was a shop across from me, and I got quite chatty to the young girl there. And I had been to church, I was in Girl Guides, and once a month we dutifully. So I sort of knew there was a God. That was mm-hmm. when I was younger, and I used to pray for my parents' support. And things like that. But, and anyway, back to the girl in the shop opposite. She was just so full of life and always happy and everything. And I thought, what's she got? And then she started talking to me about God and Christianity. And I said, And then I noticed she had a more modern Bible. And I said to her, if I had a Bible like that, I could really get into it and understand it more.
Mm.
And so anyway, after lunch, she came back and she had a Good News Bible for me. So that was lovely, and that sort of helped. And then after my first marriage broke up, I was really seeking something and seeking God, I think. And my mother was sort of saying to me, come on, let's go to a church. So my mum and I started looking around for churches. Mum was a fairly strong Christian when she was younger, and she stopped being, life just got in the way. And we went to a couple of churches, and I remember the first church we went to, I was a bit, whoa, these guys are praying and I can't understand a thing they're saying.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was just a bit of a baptism of fire. Okay. Goodness, what's going on here and stuff like that. So they were very welcoming and loving people, but I didn't quite understand at all. As you can understand, I was only feeling it. So we ended up going to Eastern Shore Baptist Church, which was at Rosny College at the time. That's now called Citywide, and they're in the old bowling building at Mornington. They've been there for a while. But then I met my second husband, not at church. He wasn't a Christian. And then he sort of wanted to know a bit more and started going to Eastern Shore Baptist with him.
Oh, great.
Which was lovely. It was nice. God really blessed me there because a lot of my friends at Eastern Shore Baptist said, I'm a bit concerned he's not a Christian. But, that was great when he got baptised as well.
Yeah.
And then we met some friends who were fairly new to Eastern Shore Baptist, and then they moved down to this end, and we decided we would move down this end too. So we went to their church down here.
So this end is Kingston.
Kingston, yes. We were in Mornington.
On the western shore, which is different to the eastern shore.
Eastern shore, yes. So it's always down here when you live on the eastern shore.
That's right. Yeah. So you moved, you completely moved. You moved
completely
house.
Completely moved house, yes. Wow. With my first daughter from my first marriage. And we moved down here.
Wow.
And it was a big step for me, not so much for my husband, because he grew up down here.
Yeah, right.
And we have stayed at that same church through various developments ever since. We've still been there, but it's been called all sorts of things.
Yeah, that's true.
It's changed its name. It's evolved.
Yes,
but now
God, that's... Yeah. That's fine. And it's the people that make the church.
It is. It's not the buildings. It's not the name. It's the people. And that's what we never felt the need to move.
That's fantastic. So why did you choose to become a daycarer?
I had two friends that were family daycarers, and I was looking for some sort of income, something that suited the family. Sort of thought, I might look into this. And so I did. And at first I was only going to take after-school children, but it sort of evolved.
And back then, I mean, it's a lot harder now, isn't it?
Oh, yes. It's very, very professional. We have all the same things, all the same requirements, and
as a childcare
centre, everything is exactly the same, which you can imagine at the house. It can be sometimes a little bit disruptive, but yeah, no, everything's exactly the same in the childcare centre as it is for family daycare, only it's more personal. I work with smaller groups, I have relationships with families, which isn't always possible with a childcare centre.
Because your daughter, Bronte, she works at a
childcare centre. At a childcare centre now, yes.
So you really got the comparison.
I know the comparison. Know the comparison. Yeah, definitely.
And I know we've stayed friends all the way. Have you got lots of long-standing friends?
I have. But my biggest milestone was when my first ever daycare child brought her child in.
Daycare grandbaby.
Yeah, definitely. So obviously I stayed in touch with a lot of them. Yeah.
That's amazing. Kerry had to work very hard here because I asked her about some funny stories that kids have done, which put off this interview for a couple of weeks.
You've been doing for 20 years, you know, you've got so many funny stories. My first ever funny story was when I had a little fellow and he was only 18 months old, and it was the first time he'd ever experienced paint. And the look on his face was just amazing. And he's going, because it was finger paintings. And he's going like this and he's looking at the paint. And then all of a sudden he face planted in the paint and looked at me with a great big smile. It was so cute.
Wow. This is why you use vegetable base.
Yes, it was very easy to clean up.
That's amazing.
But it was so, so cute. The wonder in his face.
The awe.
He'd never, ever experienced it, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just sharing special times like that. Still remember him. He's now married and got a child. And I'm still in contact with his mum,
which is
lovely. Now, the second time was when a little girl, we'd sing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star because it's just a great song to start off with. And the little girl, I could not convince her that it was a diamond, not a dinosaur in the sky.
Like a dinosaur in the sky.
Yes, Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, how I wonder what you are. Up above the world so high, like a dinosaur in the sky. That took us a long time to convince her it was a diamond.
Reminds me of my daughter singing This Little Light of Mine, and then she'd sing Hide It Under a Bush. Oh, no. So she didn't know what a bushel was, so we were hiding our little candle under a bush.
Okay. That could have caused problems.
Yes.
Especially a very dry bush. And, very little sweet things like that. I was just telling Ruth before that there was things I couldn't remember, but I remember my neighbours up the back chuckling away because they're listening to the children outside and some of the cute little things that come out. Most recent was a dear little girl. She loves playing mummies and she just always plays mummies when she's there. And she's got different little friends on different days. And I overheard her say, "No, I don't think I'll be going to the shop today. I don't think I'll buy a baby today."
Buy a baby.
Yes.
Fantastic.
That would be lovely.
You don't, as a daycare, you don't have any responsibility for telling her the facts of life. You can just let that
one go. Yeah, let that one go. No, I don't.
And you were telling me how you write these things down and give them to the parents.
And I don't keep them myself, which is a bit of a pity. Because when you've been there for 20 years, there's a lot of great little things that you could remember.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
It's so important for the parents to
have those things. That's why I recorded them, all little things. But you know, I never saw a child take their first step.
Oh, really?
No, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Oh, of course. Oh, that's important.
Yeah, very important, because I think that would have been a very sad thing.
Yeah.
Parents feel that they missed out on their first step.
What ages do you care for?
Oh, my youngest ever was 6 months old.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have some who just keep coming back. he's 11, right. My eldest, he and his sister. And they're lovely with the children. I love having them.
Yeah.
because the littlies love them and they're just so caring and loving to the children.
So it really is a family
for them. It is a family for them, yeah. And last holidays I had a brother and a sister who always come back, and I had two babies on the day they came, a boy and a girl. Oh, nice. So the brother attached himself to the boy and the sister attached herself to the girl.
Wow.
It was just so special.
Yeah, mm, very
so
special.
So nice, yeah.
Mm.
No, they're great kids.
Mm. So how does your faith work in your work situation? Like, how are you allowed to tell kids about
depends,
things? Or
depends.
Yeah.
Who I've got. Christmas and Easter is open slather for me.
Mm.
And I just tell them what the real story, the real tradition is behind Christmas. Mm. That's our country's tradition, and I think that's important to share why our country has it.
Mm.
It's become a bit of a grey area lately, and
mm.
it's a bit sad, really, because
mm.
a lot of children don't know the true meaning of Christmas or Easter.
Mm.
Yeah, so I tell them what it's about. When we do craft, I never touch on Santa Claus or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's always stars and angels, and the parents are quite open to that, thankfully.
Yeah.
And the same with Easter, it's always, we just make Easter eggs and things
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing to do with the bunny.
The chocolate.
But I have been really blessed. This year, I have 99% Christian children.
Mm.
So I can pray with them, and that's just very special.
Mm.
And something I really would like to share, which was amazing and spoke volumes to the child, she had a cat, a kitten.
Mm.
It was a gift for her. And when the kitten was a young cat, they lost it. They couldn't find it anywhere. And she was very distraught. So I said, hey, guys, let's all pray for her kitten. And so we all join hands like we do, and we prayed that the kitten will come back. Now, some children are a little bit shy, some aren't, but this particular little girl is a great prayer warrior. And she said, please, Lord, could you bring my kitten back home?
Mm.
And the kitten had been missing for a few days.
Mm.
So anyway, we prayed. And then at night, I got a phone call at 9:30 at night, and I went, is this calling? And there was a mum on the line. Oh, look, Kerry, I'm really sorry. I didn't want to ring you this time. But she was just so insistent that she rings you and tells you the news. So I'm putting her on. And so this little voice says, Kerry, Kerry, we prayed and we got my kitten back.
Oh,
and she was just so excited. And I just said, well, we have to pray and thank God for answered prayer.
Mm.
And the next day she was telling, oh, God, got my kitten back. And it was just, it spoke volumes to her.
Yeah, for sure.
It was very sweet.
Mm. I guess that when you don't have all Christian children in, you need to be
a bit hard, a little bit, yes.
Less overt.
Less overt, yes. I have one little one who's a dear, sweet little one. And, we don't.
Mm.
We talk, well, the little one that I was telling you about, the kid, just always talks about God now and sings God and everything.
Mm.
And so I can't stop that.
No.
I'm not going to stop that. And she's quite open to it, but she doesn't fully understand.
Mm.
And I don't say anything, I don't push anything, because I'm not allowed to.
Mm.
And you've got to understand and respect the parent, but that doesn't stop you praying for them.
That's right. And I was thinking, even if you can't do that, I mean, I'm sure there are ways that having faith in God helps you.
Helps me through. It does. Oh, my goodness. To be honest, I've been doing this for 20-odd years, and I really can see and look back where God has just pulled me through and pulled me through. So that's why I know that I'm where God wants me. I've never been short of children.
Yeah, so sometimes... So you're allowed to have, six under
a
certain...
Four now? That's down to four. It was six.
Yeah.
Down to five.
Things have changed since I was a daycare. So, no, and then four. And you're dependent on people
bringing
them
in.
So
to do
So there can be, I mean, you're running a business, but there can be times when you don't
have any, yeah, or many.
Yeah, but and, you've never had this.
Game. And no, whenever it looked like the end of the year was, oh, everyone's leaving and I haven't got anywhere and just, oh, well, I'm just going to trust in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And it comes and he fills me again.
Wow.
It's just such a blessing.
Mm.
And next year I have all Christian families.
How lovely.
So, yeah, I think that's a real blessing. Mm. And I see that as God saying, well, you know, you bring God into everything, every part of it. But little quirky things like I'll be somewhere and then God will just say, Kerry, you need to go over there. And I'm there in time to go, whoops.
Oh, wow.
That has happened to me time and time and time again.
Just for people who are listening on the audio, that's a whoops, catch the child as
they're
just about
to fall. Catch the child, yes, yeah. As they're about to fall, and I'm there.
Wow.
And yeah. That was just, that's a, that never, ever, ever ceases to amaze
yeah. me. It just puts you in the right place.
At it,
the
right does, it does, it does. And it was an interesting situation because family daycare get visited by the coordination unit who are coordinators, and we have a support worker who visits us and has a chat with us and talks about what they think and just helps us through. And one day, very recently, I was chatting to her and all of a sudden I thought, okay, I got the move over there. Sure enough, a child did a double somersault off the couch and once again I was there to catch.
Mm.
And I lifted my arms in front of the person and I said, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Because yeah, that could have spoken volumes to that particular person.
And there's no other answer for it.
No other answer. And they all know that I'm a Christian.
Yeah. I can imagine that. I think that was my experience at work too when I was at work at uni. It's like, well, they all know.
They do. And sometimes they just see it.
Mm.
And I have had a couple of times people saying, you're a Christian, aren't you?
Mm.
And I just go, thank you, God, you know, because the Lord through must be using me to speak to them. And I did. I've had two families that have come to God through that, through my prayers. And it was, two of them. Well, two and a half, actually, because the dad was a believer, but he used to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole family.
Oh, wow.
So that's amazing, yeah.
Yeah.
God is just...
I mean, it's enough to be a daycarer and inputting into the lives of those children.
Mm.
But to have that extra layer above where you're building the kingdom as well.
Exactly. Yeah. That's just, it blows me.
Mm.
It just blows my mind, the way that God uses me. And I think, wow, thank you, Lord, for you. Using me in some way which I absolutely and utterly love, you know, it's great.
Well, yeah, you have to love it. Yes. It's hard work.
It is very hard work. Mm. And that's why I cut down to 4 days just recently.
Yeah, it's a physically and mentally and emotionally draining
and
job.
Emotionally very draining. Definitely. Wonderful. Yeah.
So when do you feel most close to God?
Every morning I have a bit of a coach. She's got four legs and barks and she likes to go. I get up, have a shower and we're off.
Mm-hmm.
So every morning I use that time to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I feel closest to God. Daylight savings come in, so I can probably go back to my special prayer spot. Before I was walking in the dark, I didn't really feel that I needed to go bush and sit on a rock by myself. But now, and I just watch the sunrise and I pray to God and I can just really, really feel his blessing and his presence. Mm. And often on the walks, that's when he has spoken to me. That is when I've had experiences that I can only say is God. Just all of a sudden a real feeling of this overwhelming love, overwhelming love that's happened. And there was a prayer. I'm praying for something else now constantly, but I know it's going to happen. But I was praying for something for my daughter to happen, a breakthrough for her, and one morning I just got a beautiful smell, that scent that I've never, ever, ever smelt before or since. And I'm looking around, I'm going, where is that beautiful scent coming from? It was the middle of winter. And I thought, oh, and it followed me. And then I read in the Bible about the Lord giving people scents and things like that. And I thought, oh, that was God. And I just praised him the whole day. I do talk to him all day. And sure enough, the breakthrough happened a couple of weeks later.
Wow.
So, yeah. With that, you know, those sort of things are just an assurance of there is a God. How can people not live without a God? You know, it's just, yeah, I don't know how they do it.
Really tried. So is there something about God that you wish everybody knew?
Yes, everyone sort of sees us as religious, and what you can't do and what you can't do. You can't do this, you can't do that. But it's not that at all. It's a freedom. It's a freedom that I'd never, ever experienced before. It's a freedom of giving the Lord your cares, saying, okay, God, I can't deal with this. I will give it to you, and you start worrying about it again. Give it back to God.
And
keep on giving it back to God. And that's a freedom, and it's not what you can't do. It's what you can do with the Lord. I've got some close friends who aren't Christians, and they're always asking me, so keep them praying. They've both got different beliefs and things, but it's great that they're asking me. They're searching. And I just pray for them because I know they're searching.
We want people to become Christians because it's good.
It's great. Exactly. I go, they're my friends and I love you so much and I just want you to know how fantastic it is to know God.
Yeah.
It's just... oh, so free.
Love it. So, is there anything else you want to share with us?
Anything else?
I'm sneakily looking at Kerry's little notes. A verse.
Yeah, this verse is really something that it's quick and it's simple, and whenever I get a little bit, 2 Samuel 22:33. God is my strength and power, and he makes my ways perfect. That is just a simple verse that I remember, and when I find myself getting uptight, Lord, I know you are my strength and power, and you are going to make my way perfect. And just,
Amen. Well, that's a wonderful place to stop all the time.
God is good.
All right. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope this has been encouraging for you. I want to especially thank Catherine Joy Music for the theme music. If you would like to help me fund this podcast, you can find me at patreon.com/quietlife and help me out for as little as $1 a month. If you want to contact me, you can email Ruth at ruthamos.com.au or find me on Facebook at Ruth Amos Author or tweet me at A Quiet Life. I'd love to hear from you. God bless. See you next week.